This is Dr. Don Wilton.
Verse 5. He fixed his attention on them, watch this, expecting to receive something from them. That little word, expecting, the word there, searching, wanting, yearning, desiring. Our world in which we live, people everywhere are searching for hope, looking for meaning. There's got to be more to life. I want you to hear what I'm saying. There's got to be more than just marrying the person of your dreams. There's got to be more than my bank balance. There's got to be more than wonderful children. There's got to be more than the things and the pleasures and the joy and the good food. All of these things are so wonderful. But you could be the richest man alive and still not be fulfilled. You still are searching because you've got an emptiness in your heart that only Jesus can fill. The Encouraging
Word. It is so good to welcome you on behalf of Dr. Don and all of us at The Encouraging Word to this moment of studying the Bible together. Today's message from Dr. Wilton is called A Picture of a Changed Life. There are many opportunities we have to share what God's doing in our life, but if we share our story, the changing that God's doing not only in our lives right now, but perhaps years ago as He turned us to Christ, we have a remarkable tool of influence. Are you using it? Let's talk about it. Let's pray together about it. Maybe you'd like to have someone praying with you. We can do that at the other end of the phone number, 866-899-WORD, or online at theencouragingword.org. We'd love to connect with you. Now, today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
Well, let's pray together. Father, we do praise your name on a day like this. Here we are, gathering together, people worshiping by way of television through the encouraging word, church family. Lord, just like ourselves here in downtown Spartanburg, there are people gathering everywhere. Different time zones, different countries, different languages, different cultures. Faithful servants who serve and who give and who love one another, who pray for one another. Church members and just people, Lord, who love you. The church. We pray for the church today, for people just like ourselves, an imperfect people, a sinful people, a people who come and who gather. We come into these places, some under a tree, wherever we can gather. This church and the gates of hell will not prevail against your church. That's your promise. How glad we are when they said, let's gather together. Let's go to church. Let's worship together. Lord, you are speaking and inspiring. You're warning, you're chastising, you're teaching. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing for us. Speak now, Lord, because we are your servants and we're listening. And we're ready to do as you command us to do. As we pray this prayer in Jesus' name, amen. Britt, I want you to put our affirmation up on the screen for us. This is not what I say. I didn't make this up. This is not mine. It's actually not yours. It's given to us. God, because Jesus died on a cross, when you give your life to Christ, this is what He gives to us. We say this because of Him. So I want you to repeat this. Say this with me. Read it with me. And we're going. Some of us are trying to memorize this. Just say this with me. I am saved by His grace. I'm instructed by His word. I'm equipped by His church. I'm empowered by His spirit. I am sent by His great commission. I am complete and courageous in Him. Now let me show you where this all comes together. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. All right, so Acts chapter 3. I want to speak to you for a few minutes today from God's Word on what this is all about. And what we're going to see in God's Word today is a very clear picture of a changed life. This is what happens when you meet Jesus. So listen to what happened to one person here in Acts chapter 3. The Bible says in verse 1, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, about the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those that were entering into the temple. And seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he begged, he asked, he to receive alms. He had a need, a big, bad, serious, life-threatening need. He asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him." Boy, that's just, you know, how many times I find myself talking to people but not really looking at them. Touching people but not really touching them. We're so distracted. We get caught up in the big. We see this huge, massive need that we forget the one. We see so many, we forget the one. When you see the one through the eyes of Jesus, Jesus tells us how to take care of the many. And this is so wonderful, because in verse 4, Peter directed his gaze at him. Now, friends, I've been here. This is an extremely busy thoroughfare. There were hundreds, if not thousands of people. I mean, the hustle and bustle of humanity around this zone of the Beautiful Gate was immense. There were lots of people. Have you ever had someone talk to you in a crowd and you felt like you were the only one there? You're the only one there. And the person that you value is talking to you, and it's like you're the only one that matters. That's exactly what happened here. Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and he said, "Look at us, pay attention." And he fixed his attention on them. I'm asking you for just a minute to fix your attention on me. Now, I'm going to tell you why. These two preachers were not saying, "Look at me, look at us." Actually, what they were doing is saying, "I am saved by God's grace, and I'm equipped by His Word, and I'm empowered by His Spirit, and I'm equipped by the church, and I'm sent by the commission. I am complete and courageous in Him." They were saying, "Listen, we've got something to say to you that we know to be true, that we can pass on to you, and it works. This is life-changing." And Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now watch this. He took him by the right hand and he raised him up. And I love this part. Immediately, his feet and his ankle bones received strength, were made strong. Now watch verse 8. A wonderful verse. "And leaping up, he stood, began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." We've had a large group, and continue to do so throughout the day and the week, a large group of changed lives just living out what it means to be changed by Jesus. And I will guarantee you that we, you and I, are saying, "Wow, I thought it took something big to be filled with wonder and amazement." You see, I know what it means to be changed. My purpose is not to share my own testimony, but I grew up in a from the age of 6 in a very fine Christian home. Made a decision, gave my life to Jesus when I was 8 or 9 in Africa. And I believe that I did. But I do also believe that from age of 12, 13, when I got into those interesting years, that I just drifted away. Got into the wrong company and was pretty naughty, you know. Never crossed over the line. But I didn't have a life that was devoted to the Lord. Went off into the military and came out of that and met this beautiful girl who loved Jesus, that I love so much today, would never have known that she would have been my wife all of these years. But you know, it was about the age of 24 with her, just having married her, where Jesus became real to me. I was sitting at the gate called Beautiful. I had a beautiful wife. I was in a beautiful place. Everything about my life was beautiful, but not inside me. I was looking, searching, empty. And that day, I've told you this before, only in heaven one day I think the Lord Jesus is going to say to me, on that day you gave your life to me. Prior to that, you didn't know me. Or he's going to say, you were a classic prodigal son. I think that's what he's going to say. You knew me, but you left your father's house and you went off into a strange land and you just laid down your first love. And that day you came back. You see, that wouldn't matter to me now, because today I know that I know. I know that I'm forgiven. I know that Jesus came into my heart, and I know that I'm changed. I'm a different person. I've told you many times. I've moved countries over 40 years ago. But I've got no doubt there are people that see me on television. I know, because I get letters from over there. And I know we've had at least 5,000 deaths over there because they see me preaching. And they surely not. That's not. Is that what? Huh? I'm surprised the delegation hasn't showed up here at our church to let everybody know how unworthy I am to stand here. This man, first of all, was totally helpless. Bible says he was lame from his mother's womb. This is a picture of the way in which we are born. We're born beautiful, man. I sat next to this wonderful couple this morning, and their little girl, talk about a little doll. Man, I could have gobbled up her cheeks in a heartbeat. And I'm still not allowed to pick up much, so I have to just look and kuchikum and ooh-ah. And I don't know how I'm going to handle the baby dedications today, but I'm going to try. You know, we may look beautiful when we're born, but because of Adam and Eve, we're born in sin. We're born lost. As in Adam, all die. This man was helpless. This man was carried to the right place. I wish I could take you to this place where the beautiful gate is. Many of you going with me this year again in December. It's a wonderful experience. It's an incredible thing. But I'm going to tell you, it was taken to the right place. The place is important. Now I want to tell you, you're in the right place right now, right where you are. Did you know that? You've been carried to the beautiful gate. You are exactly where you need to be right now, because God has positioned you to listen. Yours is that beautiful gate. And it may be at a television set. It may be at a nurse's station. It may be preparing in a restaurant. It may be in a hospital room or a nursing home. Or you may be in a beautiful church like this. But you are at the beautiful gate right now. You're in the right place. This man was able to see and hear. He saw and he heard. The Bible tells us very clearly in verse 3 and verse 4. He saw Peter and John. Everybody look at me. You got it? And they heard what they said. Are you listening? And it was nothing about them. Because in a minute he's going to say, Jesus said in the name of Jesus. You're not going to hear me get up here today and say, Don wants to tell you something. I'm passing on to you what I've been told. He was able to both see and hear what was being said. This incredible message. The Bible says he was searching for hope. Verse 5. He fixed his attention on them, watch this, expecting to receive something from them. That little word, expecting, the word there, searching, wanting, yearning, desiring. Our world in which we live, people everywhere are searching for hope, looking for meaning. There's got to be more to life. I want you to hear what I'm saying. There's got to be more than just marrying the person of your dreams. There's got to be more than my bank balance. There's got to be more than wonderful children. There's got to be more than the things and the pleasures and the joy and the good food. All of these things are so wonderful. But you could be the richest man alive and still not be fulfilled. You could have the greatest business. You could be married to the most wonderful person and not be and have an emptiness in your heart. And you know that that's true. You can spend your whole life being sought after, building great dreams, contributing in wonderful ways. You could be a war hero. You could be one of our honored veterans, the people that I admire so much in our nation, and still, having served our country with such distinction and such honor, and we cannot say thank you enough to you, and we do pour out our hearts, and yet you, the one who is the recipient, you are receiving the thanks of a grateful nation. You still are searching because you've got an emptiness in your heart that only Jesus can fill. This man was searching for hope. My life was like that. I don't know whether I was saved or whether I was living in a faraway land, but I know that Jesus was just not in my heart and real and vibrant, and I was not serving him. I was consumed by myself. And in my life, I had the most beautiful wife I could possibly imagine. The loveliest person in the world that I adore today. And I had the means. I had a wonderful position. And I had the trappings of life. I had a fantastic motorbike. And I had paddle skis and surfboards. And I played sport everywhere. And my wife was building a beautiful little, it was our first little home, just as beautiful as you could possibly imagine. But in my heart, none of that could fill that emptiness, that longing. There had to be more. I needed real hope. I wanted to know. This man was searching. The Bible tells us right there that these two preachers looked at him, stopped, looked into his face and said, you know, I know you're needing help and you're probably wanting some kind of special medical treatment for your physical condition. But we, silver and gold, we don't have. But what we do have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I mean, that's right on the button, isn't it? that's Jesus. I save to know nothing among you excepting Jesus. I want to present to you Jesus. Jesus. And when they said to him, listen, it's about Jesus. The Bible says this man was instantly healed, made whole. Bible says immediately strength came into his feet and ankle bones. This man was lifted up immediately. And that's exactly what happens when you give your heart to Jesus. Jesus doesn't call a conference. Go and consult with the angels. Doesn't hold a council and consider your background. Doesn't say, now wait a minute now, we need to think carefully about this. How can I just go right out and save and forgive this person right now, considering where they've been and what they've done? Because he's already paid the price. And he paid it in full for you and for me. The spotless Lamb of God. He gave his life for us. He said, I came to give you life, abundant life. I've come to make you whole. And when you're willing to repent of your sin and by faith receive me into your heart, you will be healed immediately, instantly. You'll be forgiven totally. It's so wonderful to think about that, that you and I are forgiven totally, because we battle with that. How could God possibly forgive me for what I've done? And he does, because he has. He did that on Calvary. My sins were washed away because he shed his blood for me. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you give your life to Christ, that's why they said in the name of Jesus. And it was immediate. He was instantly healed. And what happened? This man became complete and courageous. He became complete in his body and courageous in his action. All of a sudden, Bible says he was up and about and he went back in there walking and leaping and praising God. And you and I might look at that and wonder what that's all about. That was serious courage back in those days. And it's serious courage back today. And he didn't do it in and of himself. Jesus had changed his life. He was whole. Jesus gave him the ability to walk again, to run again. And he knew that he had been made whole and healed completely. All that he had carried with him from birth had been erased. He was complete and he was courageous. And what was the result? It was totally contagious. What an incredible verse in verse 10. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. Just filled with wonder and amazement. We watch that every week, every day. We see the power of changed lives. And it just is just so beautiful. Just in my life and ministry, I've seen so many people walk in looking for something more, for hope, asking questions, searching, asking why. Why do I even exist? Why should I live? How can I handle tomorrow? It's got to be more to life. And then they meet Jesus. I've watched those changed lives. This room is filled with people like that. And you can be too. That's what this is all about. It's about a changed life. And friend, I don't offer you that. Jesus does. I share that with you. I pass it along because he gave it to me. Oh yeah, once we trust Jesus, we still go through all the rigors of our lives, don't we? We still hurt and get sore this and aching that. Pick up this infection and we limp and we hurt, we have pain, we grieve, we battle to make ends meet. But we do so with hope. We're whole. We've got meaning. We've got purpose. We know why we're on this earth. We know where we're going because we've received eternal life. We come together, we get great joy out of a little box of porridge. All of a sudden, the little things, as well as the big things and the not so little things, life just becomes meaningful because it's a full and a meaningful life in Christ. That's who we are. That's why we are. That's what it means to be complete and courageous in Him. It's simple, but so powerful. It's so quiet and yet so dramatic. It's so unassuming, and yet it's so public. The miracle of a changed life. Would you agree today that you're that woman, you're that man, you're that young person? Would you just, you don't need to do this, I'm just saying symbolically, would you just listen to what I'm saying? And then I say that, I think you've heard God speaking what He wants you to hear. That's the Spirit of God. He's knocking at your heart's door. If you open your heart's door, He'll come in. The Bible says if you confess your sin, He'll forgive you for your sin. The Bible says if you're willing to confess that Jesus, this Jesus of Nazareth, is Lord, and if you're willing to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you'll be saved. Remember, even in the book of Acts, when they saw and heard, the Bible says there were people that were cut to the heart. Are you cut to the heart today? Is this deep down inside? And so they turned to these same pastors and preachers and said, what shall we do? And they said, repent, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. You will, because it's the Holy Spirit that'll save you and forgive you and empower you and guide you and energize you, making you complete and courageous in Him. Would you pray this prayer today? Would you make this prayer your prayer today? And by so doing, trust Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. Pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I'm seeing and I'm hearing now. I want Jesus in my life. I want meaning and hope. I want wholeness and fulfillment. Most of all, I want to be forgiven completely. I know, I believe, I confess that you are Lord. And I do believe that you're alive. I believe it. I receive you into my heart by faith. I trust in you. I've given my heart to you today, Lord Jesus. I'm a changed person. And I begin my life with you from the very beginning. Now, my name is written in your book. I am changed.
If God has spoken to you today through the words of Dr. Don Wilton, or more importantly, by the power of His Spirit through the teaching of God's Word, let us walk with you for the next step, whatever that is. We'd love to pray with you, pray for you, put some resources in your hand, maybe help you connect with a local church. We do that at the other end of 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We would love to connect with you. Or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org. A great place to discover resources like this.
Across America, there are different views on when life begins and when it should end. What do you believe? What does the Bible say? When does life really begin? Join Dr. Wilton as he teaches biblical truths with compassion straight from God's Word in his classic and timely message, The Sanctity of Human Life. Plus, you will receive two bonus gifts, Why Pro-Life and Counterculture in a World of Abortion. These powerful ministry resources will help equip you with the facts to see life through the lens of God's Word. Request The Sanctity of Human Life, a classic and timely message on CD, and the bonus gifts for your gift of any amount to The Encouraging Word today. Write to us at Post Office Box 2110, Spartanburg, South Carolina, 29304, or call us toll-free at 866-899-WORD, or visit online at theencouragingword.org. Thank you for your support as we continue to proclaim God's truth around the world.